Do you solemnly swear that the testimony you're about to give will be the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
Yes.
Thank you.
Okay. Can you state your name for the record, please, and spell it also?
Should I talk to you or should I talk to her?
Whatever you feel comfortable doing.
Zach DiGregorio.
Okay. And Mr. DiGregorio, can you spell your last name for us?
D-E, capital G-R-E, G-O-R-I-O.
Okay. Have you ever been deposed before?
I have not.
All right, so what I like to do is I like to kind of go over kind of the ground rules for the deposition first. That way, since you've never been deposed, that way you kind of know, and it kind of takes a little of the mystery out of it. So first off, do you understand you're under oath and you're sworn to tell the truth?
Yes.
Do you understand that your deposition can be used at any hearing or trial in this case?
Yes.
Okay, so as you can see, the court reporter is trying to make a record. This is a very difficult job. I don't know how they do it, but it's much easier if we only have one person talking at a time. So please let one person speak at a time so that we can make a clear record. Is that okay?
Yes. Are you recording this?
I am, and I don't know if, she's typing it down. So, but yes, I'm actually recording this. Okay, so, and you understand that the court reporter is making a record of everything you say, correct?
Yes.
All right. Attorneys may make objections during the deposition. If that happens, just stop talking and let the attorneys make a record, and someone will let you know if and when you can answer that question, okay?
Okay.
All right. And if I ask you a question you don't understand, will you please let me know so I can clarify the question?
Okay.
All right. And you're doing well, because a lot of people, when they come in here, they nod and they shake their head. And just, if you nod, just make sure you give a verbal answer. And if you shake your head no, just make sure you give a verbal answer, because one of us will prompt you to give a verbal answer. Okay, so we can take a break at any time if you need one. I just ask that you answer the question that's been propounded to you before we take a break. All right, is that fair?
Yes.
Okay, do you have any questions about any of that?
No, but I mean, this is just not normal for me, so
I know.
Might be a little bit nervous.
I know, and look, we're all here. We're here for a case, but nobody's in trouble. And I understand this can be nerve-wracking, and it's kind of nerve-wracking for me too, to be honest, because I got to prepare and get ready for these, and then I hope I don't ask stupid questions, because eventually I got to read this and listen to it, and then I go, why did I ask that, or why did I ask it that way? So just whatever we can do to make you feel comfortable, just let us know. If you need a break, if, you know, whatever you need to do. I'm not here to embarrass you or to put you through any kind of emotional trauma, okay? All right, do you understand?
Yes.
Okay, so are you feeling well enough to proceed with your deposition today?
Yes.
Have you taken any medication or consumed any alcohol in the last 24 hours?
No.
Is there any reason why you cannot proceed with your deposition today?
No.
Are you understanding my questions?
Yes.
And what did you do to prepare for your deposition today? Did you review any documents? Did you listen to any recordings? I know you may have spoken with Mr. Minot. I don't need to know about any of those discussions, but did you do anything else to prepare for your deposition?
I read the deposition that was done for Dan Hicks, the CEO. Other than that, I haven't really done anything.
All right. So, where do you presently work?
I work at the New Mexico Spaceport Authority.
Okay. And I'm going to ask a lot of questions that may seem like, why is he asking me this? Like, he knows where I work. I got to ask the questions just to get them in the record. So just bear with me. How long have you worked at your current position?
About 3.5 years.
Is that the only position you've had at the spaceport?
Yes.
Where did you work previous to your position at the spaceport?
Before spaceport, I worked at Sandia National Labs in Albuquerque.
What did you do at Sandia National Labs?
Business management.
Do you know a man by the name of George Dials by any chance? Okay, that's my father-in-law. He does a lot of contracting with Sandia and Los Alamos, so it just has nothing to do with this case, but sorry. I probably threw you off. And what is your position now at the Spaceport?
I'm the chief financial officer.
And I think I already asked you this, but that's been your job since you've been at the Spaceport. Is that correct?
Correct. All right.
Okay, so what are your duties as chief financial officer of the Spaceport?
Chief financial officer is chiefly responsible for compliance and financial management of an agency. And so typical activities they do is prepare for an annual financial audit, generate financial reports, put together the budget documents that get presented to the legislature.
Okay. So are those your primary duties?
Can you clarify that question?
Sure. Are those your primary responsibilities as chief financial officer?
I'm sorry.
Well, let me ask you this. And maybe I should rephrase the question. Sometimes I ask very bad questions, so I'm sorry. And I've been doing this a while, and I should probably be better at asking questions. Do you, besides what you just told me, are there any other duties and responsibilities that you do as chief financial officer of the Spaceport?
Well, I'm also the records custodian, which is why we're here today.
Okay. How long have you been the records custodian for the Spaceport?
I've been the records custodian about 2 years.
And did you have any experience being a records custodian for a public agency in New Mexico prior to your position with the Spaceport?
No.
So is it fair to say that your position at the Spaceport is the first time you've ever had to deal with any kind of public records requests?
That's correct.
Okay. Right. And what's your understanding of your duties and responsibilities as records custodian for the Spaceport?
Let me start by saying that IPRA and compliance with IPRA is one of the important duties of any state agency. And so it's something that our agency takes very seriously. My role as records custodian is to know where all the records are at and to handle incoming requests to see those records and then respond accordingly in compliance with the rules and regulations surrounding IPRA.
Over the course of your 2 years as records custodian, can you estimate how many public records requests you've received during that time?
I would have a hard time giving you an exact number. I mean, it fluctuates, mm-hmm. but it's on the scale of one a week.
Okay.
I mean, we get pretty frequent requests.
That's more than I would have expected, but that's interesting. Okay. So has that been fairly regular over 2 years, about once a week, you'd say?
Again, you know, it's hard to say exactly because some weeks we don't get any, but some weeks I'll get three. So I couldn't give you an exact number.
So it's fair to say that the IPRA request that we're here about, which are specifically a March 12th, 2017 request and a June 28th, 2017 request made by my client, had been dealing with other requests previous to these specific requests. Is that fair?
That's correct.
Okay, so what do you do when you get an IPRA request?
There's a process that you follow. IPRA requests are delivered to the agency through a specific email address, and those emails come in, and I'm the person who checks that email account. So when we receive an IPRA request, I go through an evaluation process and respond accordingly.
Okay. What do you do as part of the evaluation process?
So the Attorney General has provided some guidance on how agencies are supposed to respond. There's a manual that is published by the Attorney General's office. They update it usually about once a year. And so I review the Attorney General manual and provide a response.
Do you ever get any advice from your in-house counsel at the Spaceport regarding any IPR requests?
So usually when the IPR requests come in, I mean, I don't respond to them in a vacuum. So I do speak with my other team members around the agency. But the response to the IPR request, I mean, I am the documents, the records custodian. So it's my responsibility to figure out the adequate response, draft it, and respond.
Okay. So let's talk about the March 12th, 2017 request that was made by my client, Mr. Hauseman. Do you recall that request?
You're going to have to help me out a little bit because, I mean, I've done so many requests.
I know. okay, well, do you remember getting a request from a public, strike that. Do you remember receiving a public records request from my client on or about March 12th of 2017?
You're looking at something. Do you have a copy of it that I can see?
Yeah, I'm gonna get this out here. So, okay, we'll go ahead and mark this as an exhibit. That's gonna be. It's got that plaintiff's exhibit A on the bottom there.
Okay.
We'll mark this plaintiff's exhibit one. Okay. So I'm gonna show you what's been marked as. Exhibit one. Go ahead and take a moment to read through it. Okay, so do you remember that request?
I vaguely remember that request. I mean, I don't specifically remember. That was a long time ago.
Okay, but you do remember receiving it, correct?
Correct.
And you do remember responding to it, correct?
Correct.
So tell me what you did when you received this request. What did you do in how you decided to respond to it?
You know, again, I'd have to say, you know, this happened a long time ago. I would have a hard time, you know, laying out the actions that I took after receiving this specific email.
Okay. So what's the first thing you did after you received this email?
What I just said is, this happened so long ago, you know, my memory is not exactly clear on exactly what I would do, but I could speak in generally, you know, what
sure.
I do when I receive these emails.
Well, actually, what I'd like to know is specifically what you did for this request. If you don't remember, then you can say you don't remember. I mean, I'm not trying to put words in your mouth, but if you could do your best to respond to the question, and if you don't recall, you don't recall, or if you don't know something, you don't know. But you did receive this request, correct?
I vaguely remember receiving this request. I couldn't say specifically what I did.
Okay. So did you have any discussions with any other personnel at the spaceport regarding this request?
Can I look at it again?
Sure.
Thank you. So if I remember this request, this dealt with us producing these lease documents, which were redacted, and me sending the PowerPoint slide that he's referring to for this.
Yes.
So again, you know, I'm not exactly sure exactly what I did, but if I remember correctly, I responded to this by sending out the PowerPoint slide. That was pretty easy. The contracts, there would have been some redactions process. So I think, you know, I discussed among my team and we started this process of doing redactions.
What do you recall the redactions entailing of the leases?
To be honest, I don't remember exactly what was redacted. But they're, you know, usually in these situations when they're customer documents, there's some process where we would contact our customers, ask them about secret proprietary information, and then we would proceed in doing an analysis on our end on, you know, how, what is the best way to respond to the IFRA.
Did any third party provide any input in to the spaceport and how these requests should be responded to?
What do you mean?
Well, for instance, did any of the lessees of the spaceport, like for instance Virgin Galactic or any of the other lessees, did they have any input to the spaceport in how the spaceport decided to respond to this IPR request?
Can I ask for some clarification on that? Are you asking, did our customers tell us how to respond?
That's what I'm asking, yes. Because you just told me, and correct me if I'm wrong, you just told me, well, when we get these, sometimes we contact our customers and then go over this information and then we hear from them, correct? Is that right?
That would be a mischaracterization of what's happening.
Okay.
So
please explain.
When we do contracts with customers, on day one, it's in our contract that we as a state agency abide by IPRA. And so they understand that from the beginning. You know, we talk with our customers on a regular basis. And so when IPRA requests come in, we inform them about what's going on. But we as an agency do the analysis and respond as appropriate.
So did you inform any of the lessees to these lease agreements about this IPR request that my client made?
So I can't remember exactly what would have occurred, but I would imagine these are customer documents. We would have discussed it with them at some point.
When you do those discussions, are they in writing, by email, phone, in person?
Again, I couldn't speak to these exact, this exact situation, but typically they're by phone.
Do you know if there's any written communication between anybody at the spaceport and any of the lessees regarding the IPR request?
I doubt it.
So, did you have any role in deciding which specific parts of the leases would be redacted?
Again, I can't remember specifically what we did in the situation, but I would have been involved. So I would have probably offered some suggestions on what areas would to redact.
Who else was involved in making these decisions?
You know, I can't remember in this specific situation, but typically I'm involved, our general counsel is involved, the CEO is involved. Even our business development department might be involved, aerospace engineers, you know, if they've had interactions with the customer, they're the ones who usually speak with customers.
in the context of this specific March 12, 2017 request, do you recall who played a part in deciding the redactions?
I don't recall that.
So let's talk about the economic analysis. That's the 2016 economic analysis. Were you the only person that helped create that analysis?
Yeah, that analysis was created by me.
Okay. So no one else helped you?
No, that was all me.
So tell me what you did to prepare the analysis.
So when you say analysis, I mean, you're talking about the PowerPoint slide that I responded to this.
Yes, correct? And I'm going to go ahead and mark the PowerPoint, the PowerPoint presentation as Exhibit 2. And I'm going to show that to you now, Mr. DeGregorio. Do you recognize that?
I do.
Okay, you can go ahead and take a look through it. Make sure everything's there. Let us know if there's anything missing. Okay. Does it look like it's complete?
Yes.
Okay.
This is a PowerPoint presentation I put together for the spaceport discussing economic impact.
And I know I've already asked you this, but did anyone help you compile this PowerPoint presentation?
No, this is a presentation I put together.
All right, so when did you start working on this economic analysis?
I don't remember exactly the timeline of putting this together.
Okay. Did you do it in 2017?
Honestly, I don't remember the exact dates, if you're looking for exact dates. I mean, this is an FY16 report, so we would have put it together and discussed it in FY17.
So tell me what you did to prepare this economic analysis.
I don't remember exactly. I mean, I did this a while ago. From what I remember, this presentation was the result of a request from the legislature to provide some kind of indication of what the economic impact was of the agency beyond the budget numbers. Because we report, you know, our budget numbers on a regular basis. And so this was my attempt to give some kind of indication that there was an impact of our agency on the community outside of just our budget. So what I did was I spoke with the different stakeholders in the community. I spoke with my team members, kind of got an idea of the activities that were going on at Spaceport. And then, you know, made some broad assumptions, used my professional judgment, and put together this PowerPoint presentation.
So who did you interview to complete this analysis?
I don't remember this well enough to give you a list of all the different people I talked to. I talked with I talk with my team members, I talk with members of the community. So we get feedback as an agency from local business owners, you know, from the different hotels in the community. I don't remember the names of everybody who works at these hotels, but we get feedback to say, oh, you had this activity going on at the spaceport. Our hotel was sold out for 2 weeks. So those are the kind of stories that I get. I couldn't give you the specifics of who exactly I talked with.
And you don't remember when you started working on compiling this analysis?
I don't remember the exact timeline. So this is an FY16, so I wouldn't have started it until after the year ended. So it would have been somewhere in FY17. And then I believe we briefed it in FY17, so it wouldn't have been that long.
And you don't remember which hotels you spoke to? I mean, I don't need the specific people, but do you know which hotels you...
I couldn't give you specific names of what went into this report.
Okay, so you don't remember which hotels you called?
I don't.
What about restaurants?
I couldn't give you that information.
What city officials did you talk to regarding this?
I don't believe I spoke with any city officials. Several of my teammates spoke with city officials and passed that information along to me.
How did they pass that information along to you?
Like I said before, I spoke with my teammates and they provided me information that flowed into this presentation.
Okay, so it's just verbal? Was there anything in writing?
I don't have anything in writing.
So, is this a lot of information that they're giving you? I mean, what exactly are they telling you?
I already gave you an example. One example would what I said before. You know, there was some type of activity out at the spaceport. A hotel was booked out for 2 weeks. That's the type of information they would give me.
Okay. Did anybody bring you any numbers or spreadsheets or any kind of paper, anything like that?
No.
Did you write anything down as people were giving you this information?
I think you're miscategorizing what I did here.
Okay. That's why I asked you to tell me what you did, but you couldn't remember. So maybe your memory is coming back. So do you recall other things now?
No. I'm going to repeat what I said before.
Okay.
Is that the legislature made a request to us, and this was our best attempt to explain that there is some kind of economic impact outside the agency. So what I did was I created this PowerPoint presentation. I pulled together some assumptions, knowing the activity that went out there, and the numbers in this presentation are my professional judgment, my impressions of what the economic impact could be for the spaceport.
Okay. So let's go to page 2 of that economic impact. I think it's in the bottom right-hand corner. It's got 207. Looks like a Bates stamp. So we have
hold
some...
Hold on.
Okay.
I'm not on right. This page?
Yes, sir. So we have some numbers here. For instance, we have fiscal year 16 New Mexico State Investment, New Mexico General Fund, $944,000. So where did you come up with that figure?
So $944,000 is the number of our general fund appropriation. So the legislature gives us that amount of money from the state general fund to run the spaceport.
And how is that communicated to you?
That's a number we know. It's in our, I guess it's in budget documents.
Okay. Would that be a document that supports your analysis? This analysis?
You could frame it that way.
Okay, but I'm asking you, would that document support this analysis? That document has a figure, right, of $944,000, correct?
You can find many documents that have that number on them.
So that would be a document that would support this specific amount, correct?
So we're talking about this specific amount here, $944,000 from the general fund.
Yes.
If you're asking me if I can find this number in other documents around the state, my answer would be yes.
Did you consult any of those documents to come up with the number you put in this analysis?
I didn't for this analysis, no, because I know that number off the top of my head.
But those documents would support this amount, correct?
I could go out today and do additional research and find that number in some document somewhere in New Mexico.
Okay, and are any of those documents, were they in the possession of the spaceport on March 12, 2017?
They were, but I didn't use them to create this okay. PowerPoint presentation. What I'm saying is I knew that number, and so I wrote it in here.
Okay. So let's go to the next, just to the right of that. We have fiscal year 16 economic impact, commercial space industry, spaceport, and other companies. You have $11,021,000. How did you come up with that figure?
The same way that I've described. So, you know, these numbers are my assumptions based on what I know of the activity that was going on at the spaceport. So I've been in business for almost 15 years now. I have a lot of experience dealing with numbers and financial reports. And so these numbers are my professional judgment, just knowing what the impact of these activities are going to be.
How did you calculate that amount?
Well, I think this page is a roll-up of this, the page below it.
Okay, but how did you calculate that amount?
I don't remember. 11 million? Yeah, so if you look at the next page, it talks about what goes into that.
Okay, so we have 6.4. You're talking about the three circles on the bottom of the page there? Is that what we're talking about?
I believe, I'd have to add them up, but I believe that goes to the 11 million.
Okay, so where did you get those numbers?
Again, those are based on my assumptions. I mean, what's on this chart?
Okay, but how did you reach that assumption? I mean, how did you come up with a figure for $3.3 million for Virgin Galactic? Was that just in your head?
I talk with Virgin Galactic on a regular basis. I walk through their building. I see, how many employees are there. I know the type of spending they do for purchasing items. And then
together. All right, let me stop you there. How do you know what they spend?
I have conversations with their procurement people. I know that they own or they lease a warehouse here in Las Cruces. I know they lease office space. These are my best guesses is what these are.
Why is it 3.3 million rather than 3.2 million for Virgin Galactic? I mean, why couldn't you have used that number?
The difference between 3.3 and 3.2?
Yes.
So at the time, 3.3 was my best guess.
Okay. What did you base let's just be clear. You based this number off of verbal information that you received from Virgin Galactic. Is that fair to say?
Correct.
So you didn't have any bank statements, any financial analysis, anything provided to you on paper from Virgin Galactic in deciding how you reach this amount?
That's correct.
Non-aerospace spaceport business, $1,089,000. How did you calculate that amount?
There's another slide here that shows what rolls into that number.
Okay. So can you explain how you came up with that figure?
So if you look at this page here, I don't know how you label these pages.
At the bottom, there's some numbers. They're in sequential. I think that's 209. So we're looking at what's been marked as 209.
So here it says film and commercial shoots direct spend 1.1 million, which is the 1.1 million number.
Okay.
And so you'll see we had two film shoots out at Spaceport that year. And my assessment of those shoots was roughly 1.1 million economic impact. So, I mean, film, just take the film shoot, The Space Between Us. There was 400 people on site for that shoot. All those people were, you know, eating in the restaurants in the local communities. My best guess of the impact of that was 1.1 million.
Okay. And how much did each movie shoot pay the spaceport? Does that go to the spaceport? I mean, how does that work?
I don't remember off the top of my head what both of those shoots did pay the spaceport, but I don't know.
And did you use those figures in determining this 1.089 million figure?
No, I mean, again, you're mischaracterizing what this is. I mean, I looked at this activity of these two events out of the spaceport, and my assessment of the impact of that was 1.1 million.
How did you assess that?
What do you mean?
How did you assess that? You said you assessed it and you came up with that amount. So what did you do to assess that?
That's just my best professional judgment.
Okay, but you need, all right, correct me if I'm wrong, but do you need data to perform some kind of professional judgment?
The inputs I got was knowing the information about the activities that went on, and putting together the numbers as best as I could.
So walk me through, how did you get to this amount for the economic impact? I mean, I'd really like to understand this, but basically what you're telling me is I just guessed. I mean, is that accurate?
I think that's minimizing my professional experience.
Well, I'm not trying to minimize it. I'm trying to understand how you came to this professional judgment. I'm asking you what you did.
So I started my career working in the entertainment industry. I've worked on over 60 films that shot all over the world. I know how much films spend in budgets. This number is pretty accurate on what they would have spent in the community, just knowing the type of activities they were doing out of the spaceport. So there isn't a lot of, this presentation wasn't meant to be a detailed study. It wasn't meant to, there's not a thorough economic analysis document that backs this up. This is just my professional judgment. If somebody came to me and said, what's your best guess, Zach, on what the economic impact is? And I think there's value in that.
Okay, but again, you didn't use any financial data to reach this calculation. Is that correct?
That's correct.
And is that fair to say for all the other items that are listed on page 2? That's bait stamp 207 in the bottom?
That's correct. Okay. Wait, 207, this one?
Yes. Yes.
That's correct.
Okay. So, tourism, how did you reach that amount? 1.7, almost 1.8 million.
So tourism, I believe there's a slide in here on that as well. This slide here.
Okay. Yes.
And so this slide talks about our tour operators. We have two tour operators that work with Spaceport America, and this number says meals and hotels, so I don't remember exactly what I did here, but it looks like this tries to guess at knowing the frequency of tourists that visit Spaceport, what is the impact from those?
So the two tour operators that are listed here, do they have a contract with Spaceport America?
They do.
And do do those contracts describe how they are paid?
Yeah, they do.
Okay, so did you look at those contracts and try to figure out this this amount?
No, because those contracts wouldn't have helped me with this number. What this number is me looking at their operations from the outside and trying to figure out what their impact is on the community. So Ted Turner Expeditions, you know, I don't know what their financials are. I'm looking at Ted Turner from the outside and saying, Ted Turner does a lot of business here in New Mexico. You know, me knowing financials, what is a good estimate of their impact in the community?
Okay. So you didn't factor into what these contractors pay or these tour operators pay the spaceport to be able to do those tours? You didn't factor that into this?
I don't remember exactly what my process was, but I couldn't remember exactly.
And you say direct spend. What do you mean by that as opposed to indirect spending? Can you describe that?
I believe what I meant by direct spend was money spent by the tour operators, as opposed to, so meals and hotels, I don't remember exactly, because this was a while ago, but it appears what I'm saying here is that direct spend would have been impact from the tour companies, and the 790 would have been impact from the visitors.
Okay. And I think I've already asked you this, but there's no financial documents that would back that up?
No.
Go ahead and take a break now. I need a bathroom break.
Yeah, that's cool.
Okay. You ready for one? Probably.
Yeah.
We'll go off the record. So just to be clear, did you take any notes at all regarding the economic analysis? Did you have any notes from any of the conversations you had or anything like that?
No. Again, just to, since we're going over this again, this is a PowerPoint I created. I created the PowerPoint. I don't have any documents to support it.
Okay. All right. Okay. So let's move on to the June 28th, 2017 IPRA request, and that's the Twitter block list. Okay. Tell me about your knowledge or involvement in this specific request.
Again, my memory's a little bit vague. This, from my recollection, this happened a while ago. Do you have a copy of it?
Yes. I'm not going to mark it as an exhibit, but
it's in his complaint.
Yes.
And
I thought
I had that. I think it's in the complaint.
Yes, it is. It's either exhibit A or exhibit B. And what I do to prepare for these things, and it vexes my assistant to no end, is I rip everything apart and then just throw it all back together.
Or hand it back to him.
Yes. Yes. Let's go off the record for a second.
I thought I would do everything. I don't know.
what I hate about this job is the paper.
It's the hard part.
And I'm so ADD, so ADHD that it's like, I start thinking about the lifesavers over there.
Squirrel!
So, yeah, exactly.
Pew!
I know I've had that stuff. It's probably like, there we go. Okay, we'll go back on the record. I'm not gonna mark this as an exhibit, but if you, and Blaine, I don't know if you wanna take a look at this, but right here at the bottom, that's the email that my client sent June 28th. That's the request. I wish I had that in a better version for you. I do not. So, do you recall receiving this email?
Again, this was a really long time ago. So, but I do vaguely receiving this email, yeah.
Okay. And I believe that this email went to an email address that is described as nmsa.ipra@spaceportamerica.com. Is that the records custodian email address?
Correct. So that's the email address that all records requests go to, and I'm the person who checks and responds to that email address.
Okay. So what role did you play in responding to this request, other than receiving it? What did you do after you received it?
Well, I'm the one who assesses the requests and responds accordingly.
Okay. So did anyone else play a role in responding to this specific request?
What do you mean?
Did any other spaceport employees make the decision in how to respond to this request? Did they play a role?
It's a little bit of, I'm having some difficulty. It's a little bit of an ambiguous question.
So after you received this request on June 28th, did you have any discussions with anyone other than my client about it?
I don't remember exactly the actions that I took, but typically what happens when I get these requests is I do check with other members of my team, and then I will make a determination and evaluation and I'll respond.
Did you check with any of your members of your team for this request?
I can't remember exactly who I spoke to, but my best recollection is I probably spoke with business development. I probably spoke with our CEO, our general counsel.
Okay. Were any of those discussions in writing?
No.
So are you the person that actually responded to this request?
I believe the email that you showed me was my response.
Okay. So I'm going to show you this again. We're not going to mark it as an exhibit, but there's a response from whoever the records custodian is on June 29th at 6:38 p.m. So are you the person that actually responded to this email?
Yeah, this is me.
Okay. All right. So tell me what you did in deciding to make that specific response, which is, thank you for your request. No such document exists. The Inspection of Public Records Act does not reference Twitter. So what did you do to come up with that response?
Well, this wasn't a typical IPRA request. This is kind of a bizarre IPRA request that we're discussing. It deals with new kind of social media stuff. And I mean, to put this in context, the usual IPA request I get is a request for copies of checks. So, you know, I'm the records custodian, I know where all the documents are. So someone asks me for a copy of the check, I go to the file, I pull up the check, I make a copy, I send back the IPA request. That's not what Heath's request was in this case. So this is kind of a strange request we got in. You know, I don't remember exactly what I did here, but what, you know, my best guess of what happened was, you know, I do my own analysis as records custodian. The Attorney General puts out a manual. So I pull out my manual, I go through it, look for compliance, and the manual from the Attorney General doesn't say anything about Twitter, doesn't say anything about how to respond to these kind of requests. So this is really a big gray area. And so that email is my attempt to respond when I don't know how to respond.
So as part of that AG guide, there is a section in that guide that describes what a public record is that correct?
That's correct. There's a section in there that does talk about public records.
And what they are, right?
You mean what a document is?
Well, what is a public record as opposed to a private record, correct?
Yeah, I believe it talks about that in there.
And have you ever reviewed the actual Public Records Act statute?
The statute's in that manual.
Okay. And did you look at the definitions part of that statute?
I can't remember exactly what happened, but I probably would have looked at that section in this situation.
What's your understanding of what a public record is defined as in the state of New Mexico, under New Mexico law?
I don't know. I think that question, you're asking me for a legal analysis.
I'm sorry. Go ahead. Finish your answer.
I think you're asking me for a legal analysis of a document.
No. I'm asking you what your understanding is. All right. So strike that. You just told me that you reviewed the AG's guide for IPRA, correct?
Yes.
Okay. And you also told me you reviewed the actual IPRA statute, correct?
Well, I don't remember exactly what I did or did not review. I would have gone to the AG's manual in this situation.
Okay. So what's your understanding of what a public record is in the context of IPRA?
I think that question's a little unfair in the situation. My job as a records custodian is compliance. I go to the manual, and it gives me guidance on how I respond. That the IPRA process is not about me providing a legal analysis on the IPRA statute.
Okay, so correct me if I'm wrong, but maybe the first thing you decide to do is you have to make a decision whether or not something is a public record, right? If somebody's asking you for something, you have to make a determination if that's actually a public record, correct?
So I don't know. I'll respond to that again the same way I responded. My job is about compliance. The IPRA requests come in, I do an assessment, I go to the manual, and the manual tells me how to respond. In this case, there was no clear explanation of what I should do in this situation dealing with social media. Social media is not in the statute.
Okay. What is in the statute?
So my understanding, and you know, I don't know all the legal specifics of all of this, but I mean, the statute was written a long time ago, before social media was around, and it hasn't really been updated to specifically address what you would do in the situation.
Okay. So, correct me if I'm wrong, but if your agency is in possession of a public record and there's a request made, the default position is that that document has to be, or that record has to be disclosed, correct?
So, again, I'll answer your question that I'm the records custodian for the agency. I know where all the records are in the agency. So I get requests from these records, I go to my records, I pull them out, and I respond to the requests.
So if you get a request asking you for the spaceport's response to a terrorist threat, you would just give that information if you have it?
A terrorist threat?
Yes, or some kind of emergency situation.
You know, I'm not gonna deal with hypothetical scenarios.
Okay. Here. All right, I'm gonna ask you that question again. If you received a request for the spaceport's plan to respond to a terrorist attack or some other kind of emergency, and your agency was in possession of that document, you would turn it over?
I don't know what I would do in a specific situation like that. My job is compliance. So the requests come in. If I got a request like that, I would evaluate it just like any other request. I would evaluate it, I would go to the manual, see what the manual says on that, and give you a response. I can't give you a response right now off the cuff.
So are you aware in the IPRA statute that there are exemptions that the government that permits New Mexico government to, in certain circumstances, to not disclose public records?
Yes, I'm aware that there's a number of instances where there's exemptions from the act.
Did you, and so correct me if I'm wrong, but if the agency feels that any record that's responsive to a request, if it's covered by any of those exemptions, your agency would respond and say, we're in possession, but we are not disclosing pursuant to this specific exemption. Is that correct?
So my response would be I would do whatever the manual says to do in that situation.
Okay. So did you look at the exemptions specifically in the context of this June 28th, 2017 HIPAA request?
I don't remember exactly what the process was.
Did you review the Twitter block list before you made this response to my client on the 29th of June, 2017?
I don't remember reviewing the Twitter list.
Do you have access to the Spaceport's Twitter account?
I do not.
Who does?
Business development.
So did you talk to them to find out what the status of the Twitter account was after you received this request?
I don't remember exactly who I spoke with. I probably would have spoken with somebody in business development, but I don't remember exactly who. There's multiple people in that department, and I honestly don't even know who has access to the account within the department.
Okay. Let me ask you this. Do you know how accounts are blocked on the Spaceport's Twitter account?
How they're blocked?
Yes. Who makes the decision? How is that done?
I don't know.
Did you have any role in blocking Mr. Hauseman on Spaceport's Twitter account?
No.
Do you know who did decide to block his account?
I don't know anything about that.
Do you have a Twitter account?
I don't.
Okay. Have you ever used Twitter?
I have. I had an account in the past, but I checked recently if my account was still there, and it was deactivated because it was never used.
Okay. So did you ever? So you never used it? You created it and then never used it?
Yeah.
Okay. Have you ever used Twitter?
I've gone on there. I've gone on other people's Twitter pages to see other people's tweets. I mean, I've never really. I used it maybe like 10 years ago.
Okay.
But I mean, I haven't used it since.
Do you know how the block list works?
I don't.
Do you have any other social media accounts?
I do. I have a Facebook page.
Okay.
I have a YouTube account.
Okay. So on Facebook, have you ever blocked anybody? I have.
No.
No? Okay.
I didn't know you could.
Yeah, you can. And did you know that you could block, that people could be blocked on Twitter on June 28th, 2017? Did you know that?
Did I know that was physically possible?
Yeah.
Honestly, I don't know.
Okay.
It's not something I think a lot about.
So did you even know what a Twitter block list was when you got the request?
No.
Did you try to find out what it was?
I can't remember exactly the conversations I had. But in getting that request, I probably would have had conversations along those lines. Yeah.
Have you ever looked at the Twitter block list maintained by the Spaceport?
Have I ever?
Mm-hmm.
I believe we did eventually respond to Heath with a screenshot.
Yes.
So I have seen that document.
Okay. Did you make that screenshot?
No.
So I'm going to go ahead and mark Exhibit 3. Yes. All right, so I'm showing you what's been marked as Exhibit 3. Do you recognize it?
I don't recognize it necessarily, but it looks like this is the this is what we sent,
okay.
Showing that. Showing the block list.
And correct me if I'm wrong, but I believe you sent that along with a letter from you to my client on September 13th of 2018. Is that correct? I'm going to mark that letter as Exhibit 4. That will probably help you. So I'll show you what's been marked as Exhibit 4. Go ahead and take a minute to read it. So do you remember writing that letter?
Yes, I do.
Okay.
This is my signature.
Okay. And that was sent on September 13th, 2018. Is that correct?
That's correct.
And that would have been when you also sent whatever you disclosed to Mr. Hauseman after the Attorney General rendered their opinion, correct?
Correct.
Okay. So Exhibit 3 was one of the things you sent, correct?
Correct.
Okay. Was that the first time you ever saw the Twitter block list for the Spaceport?
This is the first time I saw the block list.
Okay. All right. And there's nobody on it, right? Is that fair to say? It says you aren't blocking any accounts.
That's correct.
Okay. And that would have been on more or less September 13th of 2018.
Correct.
Okay. Do you know what accounts were blocked by the spaceport on its Twitter account on June 28th, 2017?
I don't know that.
Do you know if my client's account was blocked?
Well, I'm guessing that apparently it was since he made the request, but I don't know that for sure. I never saw the list.
I think what you're saying is you have no personal knowledge of that.
Correct.
Okay. All right. Do you know how an account would end up on the spaceport's block list?
You mean
how or why? Like,
I really don't know.
Did you ever have any role in any decisions on which accounts to block or not block for the spaceport's Twitter account?
No.
Do you know who made those decisions?
I don't know specifically, but I'm guessing it's business development.
Okay. So did the spaceport make any attempt to preserve the blocked account list that existed on June 28th, 2017?
No.
And do you know if there were accounts on that list on June 28th, 2017?
I don't know.
Who would know?
Who would know? I couldn't say for sure. Probably someone in business development.
All right, so just give me a minute here. Is there any reason why the spaceport could not have provided the block list as it existed on June 28th, 2017 to my client?
I think that's a misleading question. We responded to Heath Hausman's email as best as we could within compliance as directed by the manual from the Attorney General's office.
Okay.
That's our responsibility. Now, are you asking, should we as an agency have taken on additional responsibilities?
No. What I'm asking you is, was there any reason why what you all did for Exhibit 3, why that could not have been done on June 28th, 2017 for the list as it existed when my client made the request? Was there any reason why that couldn't be done?
So we responded with this in response to the Attorney General's recommendation.
Yes. Maybe my question confused you, okay? Was the spaceport capable on June 28th, 2017 of taking a screenshot of the blocked account list for the spaceport's Twitter account?
Was it physically possible?
Yes.
This isn't my area. You're asking me about things that are not in my department.
Okay.
I don't know.
All right. Well, you would agree that the spaceport was able to compile Exhibit 3 on or about September 13th of 2018, correct?
Yes, we did.
Is there any reason why this could not have been done on June 28th, 2017?
So, if I remember correctly, this was provided to me by the Business Development Department. Mm-hmm. I can't speak for them if they could have done it earlier.
All right. So you received a request for the spaceport account's Twitter block list, correct?
Correct.
On June 28th, 2017, correct?
Is that the date of his
yes.
email?
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay, so did you know what a Twitter block list was when you received that request?
I think I answered that already.
Okay.
Wait, so what?
He just objected as to form. Yeah. You can answer the question. I'm just making an objection.
can you go
it's
ahead
lawyer
and read?
Stuff.
Yeah, it's lawyer stuff. Don't worry about
yeah,
it.
Yeah, you go ahead and answer the question.
Can you read back that question, Jen?
Okay, so did you know what a Twitter block list was when you received that request? And your answer, I think I answered that already.
So did you know what a Twitter block list was on June 28th, 2017, when you received this request?
I believe I answered that already, and I don't remember that I knew what it was. Okay.
Did you try to find out?
Same objection.
Did you try to find out what a Twitter block list was?
I don't remember exactly what I did back then, but I imagine I would have gone around and talked with business development. This is their area. I probably would have asked them, what is he asking for here?
Did you consult any of the statutory exemptions in trying to figure out if you needed to respond to this request?
So, same objection.
So I would have gone to the Attorney General's manual and figured out what was the best way for our agency to comply.
Okay. So tell me how you came up with your response that IPRA doesn't reference Twitter. I mean, how did you come up with that?
Objective form.
I answered this already as well. So that email is my best attempt to respond in an ambiguous situation where I was not really sure what to do.
How much time do you have to respond to a request when you receive it?
You need to respond within 3 days, and there's an opportunity to respond. If you can also respond within the first 3 days that you need some more time, and then generally you can provide a response within 14 days.
And how long did you take to make this response?
Well, do you have it on the email?
Yes. When did my client make that request?
So June 28th.
Yes.
There's... And then my response was on June 29th.
Okay. What time did my client make the request on June 28th?
6 p.m.
I think it says 6:17 p.m.
Yeah, correct, 6:17 p.m.
Right? Okay. And then the timestamp on your email is June 29th at 9:42 p.m. That's the next day,
no,
correct?
No, this is my email here.
Okay.
6:38 p.m. So the next day.
Okay. All right.
So essentially 24 hours.
Okay. So why didn't you take more time in trying to figure out how to do this response?
We try to respond as timely as possible. I mean, we don't try to take the maximum amount of time if we don't need it. Mm-hmm. It's important to us to respond as quickly as possible.
Didn't you just say that this was kind of a novel situation, though? Like, you had never received a Public Records Act request like this before?
That's correct.
So you didn't feel like maybe you should take some more time in trying to craft a response to this?
I don't remember exactly what my thought process was, but my best recollection is that there are no documents to produce. And so if there's not more documents, I'm not going to take more time.
All right, so then looking again at this email, my client asked you to maintain a copy of, or to preserve a copy of the Twitter block list as it existed at the time of the request. Is that correct?
Is that what he's saying up here?
Yes. Sorry, I was pointing at the wrong spot.
Yeah, so it appears he sent me an email with that,
right,
with that request.
Okay. And did the spaceport make any attempt to preserve the Twitter block list for the spaceport's Twitter account at that time?
No.
Sorry, excuse me. think we're coming to the end here. Let me just make sure. What was Tamara Anderton doing for the spaceport June 28th, 2017? What was her position?
Tamara Anderton no longer works for the agency, but I believe she was working back then. I don't remember exactly when her last day was, but she was the former head of business development.
And does Rosa Banuelos still work at the spaceport?
Rosa Banuelos works for the spaceport today.
And you don't know how Mr. Hauselman's Twitter account got blocked by the spaceport?
I think I've answered that already. I don't know.
Pass witness.
I don't have any questions. So we'll read and sign. And we're done. Look at that.
We're done.
Unceremoniously.
You lived. I made it.
Okay. Now we can all go back to work.
Yeah, I know.